Well, that's a hard act to follow. I had a friend from a seminary, Bible college, from Crosby. His name was Mark McAllister. He was an engineer, but he went into the ministry. I don't know, you know him? You know Mark? Yeah, he went into the ministry. He's your pastor? Well, give him my regards. But his brother was killed in that, at Hillsborough. His brother was killed. I mean, it was devastating at the time. Well, now you know why I prefer rugby. But what a thing, you know. Everybody around you is dying or dead, and God has mercy on you. And you make it, and you must ask yourself the question, why did I survive, and all these other guys didn't? So 96 people die at Hillsborough, and our brother makes it. Multiply that by 10,000. Imagine if you were the one out of 10,000 who survived. The Lord saved him for a purpose. The odds were against him. But Jesus said, the way is so narrow, few men find it. Your chances of going to hell, if Jesus was telling the truth, anyone's chance of going to hell, put it this way, our chance of not going to hell is probably at least 10,000 to 1. There's 9,999 people going to hell, at least, for everyone who isn't. You consider this countries like Saudi Arabia, 25 million people in it, and a handful of Christians, a handful out of 25 million. There are other countries like that. Few men find it. My family is a mixture of, as I tell people, the two worst races of people in the world, Irish, Catholic, and Jewish. And yes, I had a grandmother who was from Merseyside, came to New York. And I spent a lot of my life as a believer trying to help Jewish people understand Christianity, because they don't understand it. They think it's Gentile. On the other hand, I've also spent a lot of my time trying to help people who are not Jewish to understand that real Christianity is Jewish. Like we looked at today in the first teaching, you know, we looked at the scripture from a Jewish perspective. So I spend a lot of time trying to help Jewish people understand Christianity. And I spend a lot of time trying to explain to people who are not Jewish about Jews and how their faith is really Jewish. I've been doing it for years. It can be pretty interesting. Culturally, Jews are different. What makes them different is their experience. People have a stereotype of Jewish people. They think of the Jewish community in Childwall, Liverpool. That's where the Jews around this area live, in Childwall. And you'll see that's where bankers live, and accountants live, and doctors live, and dentists live, and lawyers live, and that's it. Why do Jews end up like this? Is it because they're innately more intelligent than other people? Well, no, but in the ancient world, literacy, functional education, was in almost every civilization we know about. Education, literacy, was for the nobility, the aristocracy, royalty, military commanders, pagan priesthoods. The Jews, not so. The Levites had to make sure every Jew could read the Word of God. So because of their faith, education was always something important in their culture. But it came right from their faith. Now, most Jews don't care about their faith anymore, but they care about their education, failing to recognize that their education has roots in their faith. It's just like England. The Guardian newspaper is a left-wing rag of propaganda, but it was founded by Methodists to give working-class England a voice. Trade unions, state schools, the national health, public health for the working classes that actually did not begin with the modern welfare state. It began under Queen Victoria when it first began. These things were established by Shaftesbury, Wilberforce, by the Methodists. These things came from believers, but people in England forget it was the faith that gave this nation those things. Well, the Jews are the same. You know, in Israel, you'll hear pop music, and they'll sing things. It's just like, hallelujah, kol. It's just pop music. Hallelujah means praise the Lord, but it's just a pop song. That's all. Well, you know, the States, you go to New Orleans and they sing When the Saints Go Marching In, or Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho. The words are straight from the pages of Scripture. The people will sing When the Saints Go Marching In just to have fun at a party, not thinking what the words actually mean or where they came from. That's just the culture. Give us the culture, but forget about why we have this culture. That's one thing that Jews and so-called Christians have in common. So-called Jews and so-called Christians have in common. They're happy to take on the cultural trappings, but not the faith that gave it to them. But there's more to it than that. If a Jew in Europe, Central Europe, or Eastern Europe had a farm, his land would be confiscated in a pogrom. His home and his barn would be burned. So although in the scriptures, in the ancient land of Israel, Israel was a nation of farmers and soldiers, when they lost their land because of their sin and were driven into the diaspora, they couldn't be farmers and soldiers. They were always victims who couldn't fight, and they couldn't have any land, real land. They lived in shtetls and ghettos. So they had to find other ways to survive. It was about survival. We look upon medicine as a scientific profession. But when it began, it was seen as a low job. Much of it was not based on science. It was based on superstition, folk medicine, and bloodletting. Barbers did it. Barbers would cut people with the same razors used for shaving. They'd cut blood vessels and bleed people. It was, part of the expression, a bloody job. Well, who do we get to do such a bloody job? Get a bloody Jew. You understand? They were forced into medicine by anti-Semitism. They were forced into it. Usury, money lending. This is a dirty business. But we need people to do the banking. Who are we going to get to carry on this dirty business? We'll get a dirty Jew. They were forced into it. There was nothing they ever chose. They were forced into it. That's what it was. The way they'd bring their kids up. How many languages can you speak? How educated are you? Do you have a profession that's always going to be needed in case you have to run and begin again? My wife was brought up that way. She was actually brought up that way. Parents are Holocaust survivors. well, they're both dead now, but they're Holocaust survivors. They were forced into these things. People don't really realize it, but that's how you have Jewish doctors, Jewish bankers, financiers, Jewish accountants. That's why you find a disproportionate amount of Jews in those professions. They were forced to do it. Well, they're always in trouble. They were always being accused of all kinds of things, things that were ridiculous. Like they were abducting Christian babies and killing the Christian babies in order to drain their blood and use it in the baking of Passover matzah. This was preached from churches. People actually believed it. Jews were brought up for inquisitions and trials because of this stuff. They always had to get lawyers. It's forced on them. But in time, medicine became scientific. Accounting became an important profession. Law, you can't do anything without a lawyer. That's just the way it is. As I tell people, why I brought my children up, it was, even for my children, it was understood. From the time they were this big, it was understood. You're going to be a lawyer or you're going to be a doctor. I don't care, we won't buy a house. I'll put the money into your education and send you to private school, but you're going to be a lawyer or you're going to be a doctor. Dentist. It's just the way it is. After that, if you want to be a juggler in the circus, you can be a juggler in the circus. But first, you're going to have a degree in law or medicine. It's just the way you bring your kids up if you're Jewish. It's in the culture. It's just the way it is. You'll sacrifice, you'll work, you'll do everything, but you'll get your kids that education, the best, no matter what it costs, no matter what it costs you, no matter what you have to do without. Go buy your clothes in a charity shop. If you need the money to put your kids through private school, if that's what you have to do, that's what you do. It's just understood. It's just understood. And they do it. So you have a Jewish accountant, a Jewish doctor, and a Jewish lawyer. In physics, chemistry, and biomedical science, 7 out of 10 Nobel Prizes are awarded to Jewish scientists. 7 out of 10 Nobel laureates in chemistry are Jews. 7 out of 10 in physics are Jews. 7 out of 10 in medicine are Jews. 7 out of 10. It's quite a thing. You need a good Jewish lawyer. You need a good Jewish accountant. And you need a good Jewish physician. No matter who you are, you need a really good accountant these days. The politicians are out for your money. I don't care if you're living on a pension in a council flat. They're out to get your money. Even if you don't have any, they're out to get it. If you're a businessman, they're really out to get it. You need a good accountant. There's so many laws today in America and Europe, everybody is a criminal. You realize there's nobody the government can't go after for something. Every one of us in this room could actually be charged with something. There's nobody here who hasn't broken European regulations that we don't even know exist. I'm serious. It doesn't matter what your trade is, what your business. You can be a mechanic, you can be a builder, you can be anything. It's running a grocery shop. Everybody here has broken laws. just like Stalin. You know, we don't pass these laws so people will comply with them. We pass them so people will break them, so we'll have a reason to arrest them and make them do what we want. As Churchill said, when you make 10,000 laws, people won't respect any of them. In America, we say, thanks to Congress, we have 13 million laws to explain 10 commandments. You need a good lawyer these days. But then, no matter how healthy you've been, you may eat the right stuff, I don't bother. With no offense to our Liverpool visitors, you might lay off the alcohol. You might jog every day. Sooner or later, you're going to get sick. And eventually, you're going to croak. Every one of us, unless the Lord comes first. No, you need a good doctor. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us something about money. It says, it's interesting how it puts it in Latin. Vanitas vanitatem, omnia vanitas. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity, it says in the Vulgate. No matter how wealthy you become in this world, you're going to wind up just as dead as a poor person who never made a sixpence. There's people who accumulate fortunes and they leave it for the next generation who blow it in Las Vegas. What if I told you there's a way to beat the odds? What if I told you there's a guaranteed way to beat those odds? What if I told you that I know a Jewish accountant, and if you become his client and you really do what he tells you, you can actually take it with you? You can laugh. But I'm not joking. I know a Jew who's shrewder than Izzy Moskowitz. And Izzy Moskowitz is shrewd. Look with me, please, to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Efo atzerecha shamehye gamken levevecha. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. How would you like to take every sixpence with you? The only thing we're taking with us when we leave this joint are the things we give to Jesus when we're alive. Don't let the world win. Life will beat you every time. Don't leave a rotten sixpence. Take it with you. You've got to talk to this Jewish accountant. If it don't last forever, what good is it? But then, there's the Jewish doctor. quite a thing. The best physician in the world can only delay the inevitable. That's all. He can only delay the inevitable. People in the States like to say, the only thing for certain is death and taxes. Well, that's not true. Really wealthy people know how to beat the tax system. But even they can't take it with them. And death, the people who have this physician beat the Obama. What if I told you that I know a Jewish doctor who's so good at what he does, he's never lost a patient? That even if you snuff it, it don't matter. He can actually raise the dead. He's done it before. And he says he can do it again, and he's going to prove it. Oh, it's a stroke. Oh, it's a massive coronary. Oh, it's a terminal illness. We've got to get a top physician right away. But this Jewish doctor's in no hurry to get there. Look at John 11. Verse 21, Martha said to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Yeshua said, your brother shall raise again. Martha said, I know that he'll raise again on the last day. But he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Find me another physician who makes that guarantee. He doesn't even take national health. He certainly doesn't take BUPA. He's got a much better health plan. And it won't cost you a sixpence. He already paid the price. Who in their right mind would not want a doctor like that? He guarantees to defeat death. And his guarantee is himself, because he already defeated it. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some very hardworking and very dedicated financial advisors. There are good accountants, and they do help people. But the best of them, even with the most noble intentions, can't show you how to take it with you. And there are some very good physicians who are dedicated, very hardworking, very learned people, who do delay the inevitable. But the inevitable remains inevitable. There's only one accountant who can do what my accountant can do. There's only one doctor who can do what my doctor can do. But then, of course, we have the Jewish lawyer. Both of my children are Jewish lawyers. I forced them into it. I figured I'd need a couple of shysters to put a few bucks in my pocket. Yeah, sometimes I wonder if I made the right move putting them both through law school. Now they want to sue me for damages. Having said that, I've got a lawyer who has never lost a case. There's one condition for him to take your case. He guarantees you'll win. But there's one condition for him to take your case. You have to be guilty and admit it. If you're innocent and wrongly accused, he can't help you. But he tells me he's never met somebody who's innocent. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. The fact of the matter is, we're in trouble. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody. It's all recorded. We are all under indictment. We will all appear before the judgment seat of God, and he knows everything. What I'm looking at, self-included, is a room filled with liars. A room filled with fornicators and adulterers. A room filled with crooks. These laws are so rigid that if you covet that which belongs to somebody else, as far as he's concerned, you stole it. That if you even sexually desire somebody you're not married to, you've slept with them. Or as my friend Ray Comfort puts it, how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? We are liars. We are moral reprobates. Every one of us is under indictment. We're in trouble, and the evidence will be irrefutable when it is presented. One of these days, the Malki Mavet is going to come. The angel of death. The arresting officer. We have a warrant for your arrest. How old are you? 87? We've been collecting evidence on you for 87 years. We got stuff on you you don't even remember doing. You don't have to plead guilty. You're guilty prima facie. Boy, do you need a good lawyer. Yes! You need a good lawyer. Now, you see, a guy like me, when I was in college, I was addicted to cocaine and stuff like that. I knew what I was, you know. Maybe a scally from Liverpool knows what he was. You know, maybe we have an advantage. But the people who are in real trouble are the people who think they're good. Who make the mistake of thinking they're innocent. No, you're not innocent. At least people like me know we were in trouble. If you don't know you're in trouble, you're in big trouble. Nobody can help you. Rumble couldn't get you off. You're guilty. And the judge is angry. You have no hope except one. I know this Jewish lawyer who can get you off. I don't care what you did or who you are, you're guilty. And I don't care what you did or who you are, I guarantee he can get you off. He has never lost a case. On that day of judgment, when the books are open and you and I stand there knowing what we did, wouldn't it be wonderful if the case was fixed? If your lawyer had an in with the judge? Let me tell you why my lawyer can get you off. Because when he stands there in front of the judge, he's going to hold up his hands. And there's going to be nail marks through his wrists. And he's going to say, I know what he did. I know what she did. And I paid the price. He who knew no sin became sin. The just for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty. That's my Jewish lawyer. And he can get you off. I know what you're thinking. You can't afford him. You're right, you can't. That's why he says, come buy without price. He works pro bono. It's not about money with him. When they nailed him to that cross, he gave his life for you. Now he wants you to give your life to him. I did a lot of stupid stuff. Man, I sold dope. I did shot coke. I did stupid. I regret so many things. And there's guys I grew up with in New York who were dead from those same things, and I was more crazy than some of them. But I became a Christian. I did a lot of stupid things. But the smartest thing I ever did in my life was call the right lawyer. Nobody else could have gotten me off. The trial is fixed. The judge is on my side. Oh, Satan can accuse. And his accusations will be true. Everything he says about me will be true. But he can't accuse my lawyer. My lawyer can show you how to beat any rap. No matter who you are, you need the right Jewish accountant. Get the best, the one who can show you how to take it with you. No matter who you are, you need a good Jewish doctor. Get the best. The one who can show you how to beat death. For sure. Because he beat it himself. And not least of all, and in one sense, most of all, you need a good Jewish lawyer. Get the best. Because no matter who you are guilty. You want to meet him? You want to become his client? You want to become his patient? I have a wonderful announcement. He's here tonight. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. He says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He has never turned anybody away. And he won't turn you away either. The problem is, although he never turns a client away, although he never turns a patient away, he never turns anybody away, has never turned anybody away. Stupidly, recklessly, almost inexplicably, most people turn him away. If you're guilty and you have an offer like that, you must be out of your mind not to ask him to take you as a client. It's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. A Jewish lawyer, a Jewish doctor, he can beat the death, and he can beat the judgment. The sentence has already been served by him on the cross. That's his offer. It'll cost you nothing. But it cost him everything. Now it'll cost you everything. But it will cost you nothing. That's his offer. Do you want to take it with you? Do you want to live forever? Do you want to beat the rap? Or is this life all you have to hope in? And it will be over? You want to end up 6 feet under and in the lake of fire? Or do you want him to give you his life and get you off? He's never turned anybody away. But most people turn him away. Don't be one of those foolish people who turn him away. He loves you. He desires you. He wants you. But he doesn't need you. We, however, need him. Every one of us needs him. And we need him desperately. One thing's for sure. You're going to become his client. You're going to become his patient. You're going to let him be your accountant. You're going to let him be your lawyer. You're going to let him be your physician. Or you're going to spend forever wishing you did. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't be crazy. You are in big, big trouble. There's only one person that can help you. It's no preacher. It's no pastor. It's no evangelist. It's no man. Nobody can help you except him. He can help you. As they say in the States, no win, no fee. If he was telling the truth, you have nothing to lose. You've lost it already. But if it's true, you have everything to gain. What do you want to do? He's here tonight. He's accepting new clients. The doctor is in. You want to live forever? You want to beat the rap? You want to take it with you? Or do you want to be a loser? He doesn't like losers. You're already a loser. We're all losers. What he likes to do is turn a loser into a winner. If your desire is to be a loser, congratulations, you've already achieved it. If you want to be a winner, let me introduce you to the accountant magna cum laude, to the physician summa cum laude, and to the lawyer above all lawyers, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to meet him, it's very easy. You say this, and you believe it. Father God, I know everything that I've heard from your word is true. I'm separated from you because of sin, and I'm on the route to death and hell. But your son came to pay for what I did, to forgive me. Please, Jesus, forgive me and come into my life and make me a new creation. Give me your spirit. Make me your child. Please, Jesus, I accept you. Help me to trust you and follow you. You don't say it to me. You say it to him and you mean it. But he means business. He's only interested in serious clients. Only serious ones. He means business. Do you mean business with him? If you want to meet him tonight, I'll be here with Jeff. I'll be here. Talk to anybody who wants to talk. But you've got to make the decision. He has already decided to take you on as a client. If you don't want him, go find another lawyer. Good luck. You're sure gonna need it because you're guaranteed to lose. You come to my lawyer, you're guaranteed to live. You don't want it, go find another accountant. You're guaranteed to wind up broke. You come to my client. My accountant guarantees perpetuity. Go find yourself another physician. You're guaranteed to wind up dead. My doctor guarantees eternal life. What do you want to do? Is there anybody here who wants to put their faith in Jesus who has never done so? Is there anybody who wants to put their faith in him? Is there anybody who wants to be a winner? Or maybe I should say, is there anybody who wants to stay a loser? What do you want to do? If you want to come to Jesus, I'll be here. You come up here and you talk. You might think it's a joke tonight. Believe me, when you're standing in front of him in the docket, it's not going to be a joke.